Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man who's teaching small business how to embrace social media. The king of tweets.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now. To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 After, thank you very much. Jeremy, thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. And very excited about having our good friend Tom Marco back on the show. Tom's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the founder and CEO of Virtue Capital Corporation, the guy who's responsible for iBank, iBank.com being available to you. He's one of our top capitalization monetizing experts in our Brain Trust. Tom Marco, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. Thanks for hanging out with me. So one of the things you've been talking about a lot lately and thinking about a lot lately as you deal with your customers is what you call chasing a fad, which is monetizing a business. What do you mean by that?
Well, I looked back at my life. I gave a couple talks at some students at the USC Entrepreneur School here last Thursday, and they've invited me back each year to give this talk, and I was reflecting on my 13 companies that I founded and how very exciting it is to found companies and start them. Two of them I lost, and nine were base hits, and one was a major success after having gone public and then building it and then selling it all off. A couple of things, kind of, as I looked back in my career founding businesses, as I found that when I was experiencing the problem in society, that I did most well when I tried to solve the problem. And I think that people that are going to be in businesses today or would be going to found businesses, they're probably going to found them in some way that is unique. In other words, isn't every business some sort of newness or fad, I call it? Mm-hmm. And my first one was a roller skate company. I founded it, came to California, and was trying to roller skate with my girlfriend, and there were no roller skates available. Every time I went to go roller skate, there were no roller skates. So I was, as a kid, trying to ski race in Colorado, and Adidas was giving me products, so I called Adidas, the one person I know, and they said they had 500,000 pairs of shoes. And, now that we had that solved, now we had to figure out what kind of roller skate plate to put them on, and then we made these big polyether urethane wheels, because the wheels that were current were big, the small little white wheels that you skated with indoors, and they were, big leather boots, I had five of these. I didn't have any money. I made up five of these, took them to the sporting goods show, and we sold 500,000 pairs of shoes in 2 days.
Wow.
At $40 each.
And you're talking about inline skates?
Yeah, no. That's what's really interesting. That's what I want to talk about, is that the skate fad that I'd created was one that took up a roller skate that was a natural business already there, but created a new product out of this industry, an outdoor roller skate with a low top shoe on it,
right,
for outdoors. So yeah, it was a light, it was outdoors, it had big tipped wheels on it, and we sold 500,000 pairs of shoes, basically a $20 million business out of five pairs that were manufactured. And of course, how do you get the money for now all this? Where do you find the money on $20 million worth of roller skates? I went to the bankers. The bankers all said, no, we don't do that. A banker introduced me to one person. That person introduced me to another. They ended up putting in several million dollars that got the venture off the ground. And my history of founding businesses is founding them when I see there's something I didn't like in the marketplace. In this particular case, I didn't like the experience of a high-top leather boot.
You saw some pain. You saw some pain, which created some opportunity. There was a need. There was a vacuum there, a hole in the marketplace, and you filled it. But what I like about your story is, instead of going and trying to find somebody to back you, you went and found customers first.
That's right. I've always found the customer first.
The best venture capital in the world is from a customer.
That's right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's the second piece of the puzzle, of course, is is people often are going out looking for venture capital, and I really think this is not the way, the place to go. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky to do that, that's great. But those are typically stories in high tech. They're typically biotech. They're typically all these, stories of what they want to be the hot thing of the day. But gold mines today right. might even be it. But I found partners that really needed my ideas that would like mm-hmm. to partner up with me that had something I needed. And what they had, Jim, every partner had distribution and sales.
Right. They didn't just bring. That's an important story. And let's talk about this some more on the other side of this, folks. When you bring in partners, make sure they don't just bring money. Make sure they bring a way to do some business. And I have a quick story to tell about that when we come back after these messages. Having a great visit with our good friend Tom Markle, iBank.com. iBank.com is his website. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
My special friend.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.